What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue. We're going to jump right into this. So today we're going to talk about Redfin's 2025 housing market prediction. So we're going to break this down into four parts. So the first is the forecast for home buyers in 2025, forecast for home sellers in 2025, the rental trends that they're anticipating, and then also the general housing forecast, mortgage rates, home prices, etc. So more of a broader situation towards the end. So we're going to get right into it. I'm going to share my thoughts as we go through all of these points. Very interesting article from Redfin, and let's jump right in. So the forecast for home buyers. So as far as mortgage rates, Redfin is predicting that mortgage rates average at about 6.3% throughout 2025, with some fluctuations offering opportunities, limited opportunities for lower rates. So they probably expect it to get to six or maybe a little below six, high fives, and average out about 6.3% for 2025. And they said buyers should plan for rates in the mid six range. So this interest rate thing is so interesting, right? Because everybody has predictions. All these sources think this is going to happen, think that is going to happen. But at the end of the day, nobody knows. Nobody knows. And I would say take the interest rate with a grain of salt. Focus more so on the price that you're buying the property at, because that's going to be the main indicator of what that payment ends up being, right? So that's what I would say as far as that. And for affordability remains near record lows, and they anticipate slight improvements stemming from wage growth or tax benefits rather than reduced home prices. So I think this is very interesting for a few reasons. I'm not sure why they think there's going to be such a tremendous wage growth that improves affordability. I haven't seen that anywhere. And you all listening, you let me know if that's something that you've seen even in your own life. There's a pretty tough job market for those who are looking for new jobs and are unemployed, or for those who are employed looking for other jobs. Like, this is not the best job market. And, you know, tax benefits, I mean, I'm just not sure why they think that affordability will get better because of those things. And they said all of those things rather than reduced home prices, which indicates to me, and we'll see if that's correct as we get through the rest of these points, it doesn't seem to me that they believe home prices will reduce. Now, personally, I don't see home prices going down nationwide, but if you check out my YouTube channel, I even talked about it here on the podcast. In some areas, prices have come down in certain situations, but it's nothing like a crash or anything like that. So, for example, in Florida, there are plenty of homes that are sitting on the market that have continually gotten price cuts, and especially with condos as well. Condos are an absolute mess down in Florida. So, in certain situations, yes, prices will come down, but I don't expect it to be something that is really worth noting, to be honest. So here are some advantages they're anticipating for buyers. So they anticipate that the inventory of homes for sale will increase, reaching pre-pandemic levels. I agree with this in certain situations. So there are certain cities where the inventory has reached pre-pandemic levels. There are several cities in Florida that are in this type of situation. And in theory, you would think that the inventory getting back to pre-pandemic levels will bring the prices back down to pre-pandemic levels, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're too far gone in many situations for prices to drop that drastically. But again, it's market specific, and you kind of just got to see what's going on in the market. And they mentioned that about 20% of listings currently feature price reductions, creating opportunities for buyers. Like I said, this definitely aligns with what I've mentioned before. In certain situations, you'll see that. And specific markets they identified that see the most significant price cuts: Cincinnati, Salt Lake City, Denver, Phoenix, and Indianapolis. Now, if you're somebody who's looking for a place to invest where you don't live, Cincinnati, Indianapolis could have some good opportunities there. They also anticipate a less competitive market than in previous years. I'm just really surprised to hear that. But costly due to high mortgage rates and home prices. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I guess it depends where you are, whether or not the market is competitive or not. I mean, it's definitely not like early pandemic when people were just offering anything for anything, but it's probably still pretty competitive in certain areas. So the general advice they have, which I do agree with, is to be financially prepared, act quickly when opportunities arise, and benefit from a growing supply of homes. Again, that growing supply of homes is really going to depend where you live and where you're trying to buy. So switching over to home sellers. So they are predicting that the home housing market is transitioning from a seller's market to a more balanced environment where home buyers and sellers share market power. I think if we shift back to a neutral market, a balanced environment, everybody wins, and it's a lot better than where we are now. So hopefully they're right about that. And as far as home sellers, areas with the highest demand they are predicting, or they mention, are the Northeast and Midwest markets. So places like Manchester, New Hampshire remain hotspots for buyer activity. Personally, I don't know anybody looking to move there. If you are, let me know. Maybe you are in the Northeast in that area and could be a good opportunity for you. And what they're recommending for sellers is that they should price their homes very carefully, especially in markets with affordability challenges. I really like that this is mentioned because I've gone through listings from all over the country. We are quickly approaching the end of 2024. And if you have not purchased an investment property yet this year and it's been one of your goals, I need you to listen very closely. I know many of you live in areas where it's so expensive and investment properties seem impossible. I'm talking about some of the big cities. So LA, New York City, maybe even Seattle, Atlanta, places in Florida, and the list goes on. If you know that where you live is too expensive, I need you to lock in right now. Investing out of state changed my life as somebody living in California. I now invest in Ohio and I'm growing my portfolio. It's something that's possible. You just need the right information and execution. So if that's you, if you want to learn how to invest out of state, go to outofstatemoney.com and there is a free training that'll outline the steps for you and help you understand exactly what it takes. So go to outofstatemoney.com or simply go to the link in the description of this episode. And one of the things I've seen is that in areas where wages aren't that high, the price of the homes are so high compared to what people can really afford, right? And so, to me, in many cases, that's probably why many of these homes are sitting on the market for such a long time in certain areas. So, I've seen that kind of thing in Arizona, like in Phoenix. I've seen it throughout Florida. So, Miami, Jacksonville, Miami, Jacksonville, Orlando, so throughout Florida, I've seen that kind of issue n to some extent in the Midwest, but I say Al Arizona, Florida. That's something I've definitely seen a lot. And then they also mentioned, which I agree with, offering buyer incentives can help sellers stand out in competitive areas. Now, you all are probably aware of the National Association of Realtors lawsuit, which has resulted in the buyer no longer being responsible for, or the buyer now potentially having to pay commission to their agent. A lot of agents I've spoken to mentioned that sellers and the selling agents are agreeing to do the commission the old school way, where it comes from the seller and it's just split between the two agents. So it hasn't been a problem from what I've been hearing from real estate agents. But I think if someone wants to get rid of a home, you are best served to just pay the commission to the buyer's agent, and you might even want to consider paying some of the closing costs as well. Those things will make you competitive and probably help you have an opportunity to sell the home much faster. And they think the overall seller advantage will hinge upon economic conditions, interest rates, and housing supply early in the year, all of which I think are solid points and make a lot of sense. So the next section, we're going to talk about rental trends. So they're expecting rents to drop by 0.1%. I mean, that's not even worth mentioning to me. Continuing a trend of soft growth following a 1.2% rise in 2023 and a 0.2% dip in 2024. So here's what I'll say. Rents, at least where I invest in Ohio, to me they haven't increased. So I had a vacancy each of the last 2 years and nothing has changed. Like market rate hasn't changed. It's been about the same. So that's something to think about if you're looking to rent. You want to be very conservative with the rents that you think you can command. And they also see a multifamily supply growth happening. So increased construction of multifamily units, and it alleviates the supply issue in some cities, contributing to slower rent growth. I 100% agree with that. I'm out here in California, in LA. There are buildings being built all over the place, mostly market rate buildings. But as these things go up, rent kind of stabilizes. So I do agree with that. And I think it's a good thing that there's slower rent growth due to building more multifamily units. A city that does this really well is Minneapolis, Minnesota. They've done a really good job with increasing the inventory of apartments, and rents have stabilized and in some cases decreased. So very good for renters. And as far as vacancy rates, at the highest during the pan they're at the highest since the pandemic, but still below the 2013 and 2019 average of 7.2%. And they expect that there's going to be a trend toward the long-term averages as rental supply continues to grow, which makes sense. If there's more rentals for people to live in that not that that enough people can afford, then I would expect the vacancy rate to stabilize. So as far as regions for rental growth in the South, they're predicting an annual growth rate of 1.5%, in the West 1.2%, Midwest 0.9%, Northeast 0.7%. So pretty small numbers. And so the last section is just an overall forecast of the housing market more broadly. So again, for mortgage rates, they're expecting 6.3% in 2025 to be the average. And that would actually be down from 2024's average of 6.7, but above, obviously above the 2013 and 2019 historical average of 4.5%, or 4%, excuse me, not 4.5%, 4%. And we're probably never going to see 4% again. And then they're predicting home prices will grow by 3.7%. And this is following a 4% increase in home prices in 2024 and a 1.1% increase in 2023. And I know for many of you where you are, stuff has increased a lot more. And then for home sales, they're expecting home sales to reach a little over 4 million, which would be 1.5% higher than 2024, but below the 2013 and 2019 averages of 5.28 million. Now, here's the thing. They're still expecting relatively low home sales. That's over a million less than the averages from 2013 and 2019, right? But what has changed? Interest rates have gone up, home prices have gone up. Wages have not gone up to the degree that the home prices have gone up, which is something I grapple with every single day because I do not understand how this is sustainable. And then housing supply, they are forecasting that there will be an 11.7% rise in inventory and a 13.8% increase in new home construction, and that will reach 1.1 million new units. So we'll see if that remains to be true. And the impact on buyers, in conclusion, is that high mortgage rates will keep payments steady despite rising home prices, which doesn't actually really make sense to me, but we'll see. We'll see how everything shakes out. So I just wanted to give you that update. I've been reading different articles just with various predictions and stuff for the upcoming year, and want to make sure I deliver that information to you through the podcast. And if you enjoyed it, if you got any value out of this, definitely be sure to follow the show on whichever platform you're listening to this on, and leave a rating and review. I love hearing from you, and I would love to shout you out on the show. So thank you all so much, and I'll talk to you soon.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.